Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
Thank you guys for having me here. It's always neat to go to a new church and meet other people that you haven't met before, and people that are worshiping the same God, and just know that there's other people in different areas that you get to know. So that's always neat. And when Pastor Chad had asked if he could have a break every now and then, I was thinking, well, you know, I'm doing this internship. I have preached before, but I can get a little more experience. So I kind of jumped at the opportunity and said, yeah, I'll at least do one. We'll see what happens. But as I was looking at what to preach a little time ago, I was really excited to preach Psalm 46. And then as time went by and I decided to really dig into it and find out what I'm going to preach about, I was kind of in the midst of some struggles, and my emotions were really dragging me down. And so they drug my thoughts down, and then I got to looking at it, and I'm thinking, how am I going to preach on a psalm of putting your trust in the Lord if I'm letting my emotions be, or my thoughts be controlled by my emotions? So I really wrestled through it and just looked at the sermon or looked at the text over and over, and finally I saw a story emerge. And this story I saw was a psalmist who's giving us an encouraging story. And he's saying, come and see our King in His majesty. And so that's what I decided. That's going to be the title. Come and see our King in His majesty. But I think a good storyteller can paint a really good picture for us. And we see this beautiful picture of the mountains. Well, Jess and I got to go to Colorado just the week before last. And we just came back middle of last week. And, we're driving through, western Minnesota. And then you kind of go to Iowa a little bit. And then you go to Nebraska. And then you get to northwest Colorado. And it's flat. You get a little rolling hills, but it's really dry. And so for hours we've been driving through this real flat and open scene. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, Jess points and is like, ah, there's the mountains. And you see what looks like this tiny hill back there. And you're driving and driving and driving. And time goes by and you see the hill growing. And you know it's huge because of how long it takes to get there. So I've done this many times. I'm from Texas originally, and I would drive to New Mexico and go in the mountains. And I just remember a scene where this is happening, and I'm driving towards the mountains. And you know this majestic, huge mountain is big because of how long it's taking to get there. And I pull over and get off the side of the road. And I get out, and the grass is just blowing with the wind in front of me. And there's a storm. We see clouds here, but but there'll be a big storm. And the sun is setting behind it, and you see hues of purple and pink and red and orange and yellow, and the beams of light coming through the storm. And you might even be able to smell, as the wind's blowing, smell the rain from that storm. And then, if you're lucky enough, you could even taste the rain. And I think that's a good storyteller can do better than I can at painting that picture in your mind without having to see it. And I think this is what the psalmist is doing here for us, for what God and our King and His majesty. And I think he has two acts. One, act one is honor the Creator. So that's my first point, is that the psalmist is trying to tell us, look, he's our Creator, honor him. So honor the Creator. And then the second point, I think he's saying, praise the conqueror. And so we'll get to those, but yeah, praise the conqueror is point two. So I'm going to read verses 1-5, because I think that is where he's saying, honor the Creator, your Creator, honor him. So verses 1-5, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. So in this, like I said, I see it as a storyteller. So let's imagine we're in a theater. Not a movie theater, nothing like that. More of a theatrical theater where you have the stadium seating. And you've got the lights that come up and go down. You've got the big red curtain that can draw in and out. And the stage is elevated. And so we've got the curtains closed. And the psalmist, before he wants to tell us this story, he wants to get started. So he's sitting on a stool in the corner. The lights are down. The spotlight's on him. And he wants to tell us where to stand before this first scene opens up. He wants to give us a proper perspective of who our God is. And he says, put your trust in God, who is our refuge and strength. He puts a stake in the ground. He says, you're about to see some difficult things, but this is what you hold on to. And he says, we will not fear because he will prevail. And he is with us. He's a very present help in trouble. So that's what we hold on to as we go through the rest. And I think this is something Elizabeth Elliot, if some of you have heard of her, I imagine most of you have. She was a missionary at one time, and her husband, Jim Elliot, was, this is back in the 50s, they were working in Ecuador, and he was one of the five guys that went into a tribe to take the gospel to them and were murdered. So her first husband was murdered by the very people that they were trying to reach. Her second husband had a very difficult bout with cancer and died because of that. This is a lady who knows torment, who knows pain. But here's a quote from her. She says, everything that has seemed most dependable has given way. Mountains are falling. Earth is receding. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to know that although all things seem shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. This is a lady who knew how to hold on to God as our refuge and strength in the times of trouble. So now that we've got this stake to hold on to, our psalmist steps off the stage and the curtains open and we see a world in chaos. This is not a world that we want to live in. This is not a world that we desire to live in. It says, therefore, our passage says, therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way. But don't forget, when we read that passage, don't forget who this passage is written for. At the top, in most of your Bibles at the very top, it says, to the choir master, the sons of Korah. Well, if you remember from Numbers 16, who the sons of Korah were, the sons of Korah, they had a duty that God gave to them. And their duty was to be worship leaders. So you had the Levites who were priests and took care of things. But then you also had Moses and Aaron who were leading the people. The sons of Korah come up and say, hey, who are we, or who are you, Moses and Aaron, to be leading us? We want that responsibility. Not the responsibility God designed us and gave us. No, we want to take up your responsibility. We want our own. So Moses and Aaron, they say to them, watch out, guys. And there's a couple things that happen, but here's what God did in judgment with them. So number 16, verse 32 through 35, he says, and the Bible says, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them. And they perished from the midst of the assembly. And then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. So this is people who the earth swallowed them up, and these are their descendants that are singing this song. And they're saying, therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way. Imagine what they could have been thinking. What if there was a generational curse? I mean, their ancestors were swallowed up by the earth because of what they did. What if that curse passed on down? But they said, no, we're not going to fear, even though the earth gives way, because we're holding on to the God who is our refuge and strength. But this world here, back to our passage, this world was created, but it's always changing for us. This sin not only affected us humans, but it affected this earth. And the nature of this earth is no longer for us, but it's against us. And we see the sea swallowing up the earth here in the passage. Mountains being moved into the heart of the sea. Mountains that are trembling at the swelling of the sea. So there's two images here that I see out of this. One, the Bible uses imagery of seas as judgment. So you see things like Noah and the flood, where God said every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Well, you see the earth or the ocean rising up and judging the earth and its people. Or what about the Red Sea? When the Israelites went through the ocean, God redeemed them from their slavery and draws them through the ocean. And then the Egyptians, who not only enslaved them for 400 years, but refused to let go of God's people at his command. And then after they let them go, they said, oh, wait, no, we turn back and we're going to chase after and go get them. Well, after God saved the Israelites through the sea, that judgment fell on the entire army of the Egyptians. Or what about Jonah? When God told Jonah, go do this over here, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, oh, not only am I not going to do what you tell me, I'm turning my back on God and I'm doing the opposite thing. I'm going a different direction. I'm going my own way. I don't want to do what you told me to do. Well, his sin caused the sea to swell up and take him when he was thrown in off the boat into the ocean. And the fish swallowed him and took him down deep. That's another imagery of the sea of judgment. But as sin increased, judgment also increased on the world. Another image of this, as we see the mountains trembling and going into the sea, is an earthquake. Complete instability. What do you do when a tornado comes? I remember, a month or two ago, there was a siren. The tornado siren went off in Rochester, and we went down in the basement, a safe place, down in the earth. What about a hurricane? I'm from Texas, so when hurricanes happen, you go to a safe place. But what happens when the earth is trembling? What happens when there's an earthquake? What stability do you have? And I think that's the imagery here that the psalmist wants you to see, is there's no stability outside of holding onto that stake of our God, who is our refuge and strength. As we've seen here, the psalmist tells us of a good God who created the world, but our sin has caused a curse, not only on us, but creation itself. And this curse is chaos. And you know this. You see this chaos around you. You feel the rejection, selfishness, and pride, not only in loved ones, but you even feel it in yourself. You smell the decay of the world around you, and you hear the cries of death, and you taste the pains of failure and rejection. This is not a world to be satisfied with. This is not what our original design is, not one we should want. And you shouldn't even be happy with this world. Even if today's troubles, think about your worst trouble today, what it might be. Some of you are growing up and you're looking at becoming adults soon. And maybe your worry is other friends. Maybe it's teachers. Maybe it's parents. And you're wondering, okay, what am I going to be? What's going to happen in 10 years? What about marriages? What about work? What about all these different things that we have? What if our worst trouble was resolved today? Would we still be happy? I know for me, I get something I want, and it's never enough. After a while, it wears off. This world is not designed for us to be happy. This world is not how we were meant to live. Christian, there's a reason for that. This is not our home. So let's move a little bit farther down the verse, and let me tell you about our home. The psalmist tells us in the storyline, he goes, Christian, you were made for the city of God. We'll go back to, as he says, the holy habitation of the Most High. That is a city that already exists. It's a city with our God already dwelling in it. It's the home for those who trust in Him. And the psalmist says, she shall not be moved. This is a city that's not tossed by the waves. The mountains of this city don't tremble. In fact, this is a city that's a picture of the past, present, and future. The Creator dwelled with His people in the garden. And then when this psalm was written, the Creator dwelled in the tabernacle with His people. And then we see in Revelation 22, the Creator will still dwell with His people on the throne. So in Revelation 22, the Bible says, a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. We see here in our passage, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This river flows down and out from the city. This should take you back to the Garden of Eden, where the garden had four rivers that flowed out to water the earth. And as we talked about, seas are imagery of judgment. Rivers are imagery of life. And the people of God, they flow out like rivers from cities to take that life to the world. So not only is God taking life to the world Himself, but He's using God's people to take life to the world, to water them with His word. So in Genesis 2, we are told that God's original design was to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The creation mandate. In Genesis 12, we hear Abram was told, I will bless you so that you will bless the nations. And then we see it again in Matthew 28, where Jesus tells his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. We see this again and again, like rivers flowing out from God. His people are flowing out, carrying His banner and telling the world who He is. But before this act closes, the psalmist wants us to remember, in verse 5, God will help her when the morning dawns. So as you go out into this tumultuous world and you see mountains shaking, you see seas raging, know God will help this city, God will help His people when the morning dawns. There will be a new day. The night will pass and the sun will rise. You may think it's always winter and never Christmas, like I did when I moved here in December from Texas. But there is an end to the night. There's an end to the cold, like April and May, when in Texas it's 2 days after the cold front comes in. But here it's April or May. Yeah. So you can feel the warmth as the sun rises. You can see the frost melt around you when the corruption of the night fades away. And see that God is there to help His people in the new day. Remember, this psalm, some commentators believe it may have actually been written to God's people, to Jerusalem, when the Amalekites were surrounding the city. And they thought that probably within a few days, Jerusalem might have been attacked. The army was huge, very ferocious. But overnight, God killed, I believe it was 180,000 of them, and then they fled. So when the morning came, the people of Jerusalem looked out and the army wasn't there anymore. And that's because of the work of God. The new day came and God fought the army. But what about those who seem to never see the new day? What about those who are in the trouble? Maybe it's a terminal illness. Maybe it's somebody who passes away and the sorrow is just too deep. Maybe it's other issues, other problems that you're dealing with day after day after day and never seem to end. Remember, if you're a Christian, death has already been defeated. Our worst enemy has already been defeated. And even death itself doesn't hold you back. So these problems that you're in will be resolved. And there is a new day when we get to live and be seated around that throne and see our Savior face to face. So the new day will dawn, even if it's not your problem today. But we're going to transition now to Act 2. So the curtains are going to draw close in our theater. The set is changing behind us. But the psalmist wants to give us a warning. He says, "For those of you that are not of God, you're about to see judgment. But for those of you who are God, we get to praise the conqueror." So that's the name of the second act, is praise the conqueror. So I'll read verses 6 through 11 here. "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. The psalmist reveals a new scene here. It's one still with affliction, but there is a clear picture of who the real winner is. We see our conqueror, and we see him winning. We see the nations raging and the kingdoms tottering and falling apart. And this just makes me think of a little child as it's learning to walk. It might get up and take a few steps and fall over, or get up and take a few more steps and fall over again and again. These kingdoms are tottering in the sight of our conqueror and our king. And that's just, that word just gives me that imagery. And not only did the sea of judgment consume the earth, but it's now consuming the people who are not of God. We read that he utters his voice and the earth, it melts. It just makes me think of Psalm 33, talking back to about creation. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts." As God can speak in and make creation, he can also speak and make desolation. And as our psalmist says, he just utters his voice and the earth melts. Just a small little uttering. But remember, for those of God, this is an encouraging psalm. This is one we should be thankful to read and look to our Creator. So we don't want to forget, as the psalmist says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." He wants you to know the works that God has done. He says, "Hey, come, behold the works of the Lord. Come see what he has done. Look how all of this is God's plan." Yes, we have sinned and creation itself has rebelled. But God is judging those who are against him. And he wins in the end. He says, "God makes war cease." This is present tense, not past tense. Not just a work that God has done, it's a work that God continues to do. He worked to save his people, and he still does to this day. And yet God's actions immediately stop the opposition. He destroys their offense. It talks about bows and spears and chariots. Well, at this time, those were the premium weapons of war. If you had an army of chariots, that was something to be feared. God burns the chariots. He shatters the spears. He breaks the bows. The archers have nothing to fight with. And I hear Pastor Chad told me that you're working through Ephesians 6, the armor of God. Well, how is this applied here in this scripture? God wins the fight. He may win it on his own, like he did when the Amalekite army was defeated. But a lot of times you're expected to participate in the fight. So Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Be still. This verse, or back to Psalm 46. It says, be still and know that I am God. So Christian, stop your pacing. Stop your worrying. Stop all the business that you have to solve all your own problems. Stop spending so much effort to make this world comfortable to you. This time, more palatable. Look to God, pay attention to Him, and know who He is. Be still and know that I am God. In this, God will be exalted. And God does the things He does for His name's sake. Back to Genesis 2, this command will be fulfilled. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He uses His people to carry His banner. As we referenced in scene 1, God's people go out from the city of God like rivers and streams to proclaim His name. Now that you know, you've been still, you know who He is, now you can get to work. Tell the world of the works that He has done. Tell the nations. By us living, by our actions, by what we do, we tell the world what we believe. I've heard a phrase somebody said, preach and sometimes use words. Your actions. Preach by your actions. Well, I think that's missing the mark a little bit. But I've also heard your speech should be telling people of who God is. Well, I think that might be missing the mark a little too. That could be hypocritical if our lives don't match up with it. Christian, we need to work to believe in God, so that our lives line up with trusting in Him, even though the mountains are trembling. And then our words match up with proclaiming His name. We need to do both. Now that you know who He is, the works that He's done, yeah, we tell the world. We exalt Him by telling the world that we don't fear those mountains that are trembling around us. We don't fear the seas that are raging, because we trust in God. And as you go out into the world, you never cease to look back. Look back to God and remember, the psalmist repeats it again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We always look to our Lord. We don't look back at the things and the desires of this earth. Don't forget Lot's wife when Sodom was going to be judged because of all of the horrendous acts that it did. God saves Lot and his family out of that. And as he's pulling them out, and as he's judging Sodom, Lot's wife looks back and she's judged for that. She desired the things of the world, not the things of God. Remember, the works of God will always continue. And back to Ephesians 6. We reference that. Don't forget the whole armor of God. Stand firm. Don't forget to stand firm. Put on the belt of truth. It says, be still and know that I am God. Learn who God is. Don't forget to do that. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As God has saved us and as we learn more about Him, He calls us to be holy because He is holy. Put on those shoes of readiness because we have the gospel of peace. Be ready to go out into that world. Hold the shield of faith so that the darts of the devil don't fight against us. Put on that helmet of salvation, the knowledge that You are saved if you're a Christian. You don't have to worry about the mountains trembling. Hold the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and pray at all times and keep alert with perseverance. So now the psalmist finishes his story. The curtain closes once again, the lights come up, and he comes back out. And he wants to share one last closing comment with us. What is this story really about? What really matters here? He talks about a creator who made a good world, but he had a perfect plan for you and me. But we kind of rejected that. It's not just Adam and Eve. Yes, they did it at the beginning. They decided that their purpose, their plan was bigger than God's. But we continue to do it too, as we talked about. All the things we continue to do apart from God. That kind of deserves a judgment. That deserves the judgment of sin, like the seas raging against the world. But we have a promise, a city of God that we can dwell in. We can trust in God who will help us. The morning will dawn for a Christian. He will be our provision. And He's not a distant God. That city of God, yes, although it's in the future, we can have it now. We do have it now if we're Christians. Because God came, the God-man came to dwell with us. He came. He lived the perfect plan that we did not live. In fact, He said to God, "It's not my will that is done, but yours." And He took our corruption, and He took our judgment, and He was buried. But death could not defeat Him. Just as the earth swallowed Him up, we see the earth spit Him out. As the fish also spit Jonah out at the command of God. He conquered our worst enemy. What has He not conquered for you today? Trust in the Lord of hosts who is with us, the God of Jacob, who is our fortress. Him only. Not our own salvation for our troubles, our past, our future. Not in anything of this world. The promises to please us or lessen our difficulties. Only Christ, and then go to work glorifying His name. And I referenced at the beginning that as I was going through this, I was doubting God's goodness for me, His devotion to me. But I must look again and again and again to Psalm 46 to see who God is and what He has done for me and still is doing and will do. So what are you afraid of? What has your emotions ripped to shred? What's the big trouble today? And even if that was resolved, what would tomorrow's trouble be? Christian, be still and know that He is God as you trust in Him. He will glorify His name through the works He does in you and around you. His name will be exalted by Christians who trust in Him even though their worlds are falling apart. And if you still trust in something else, you still have doubts, you still have fears of other things, you're hoping that your good deeds will be good enough, or you're trusting in other things that will resolve all of these troubles. Know that you're not bearing His image. And you're not filling the earth with His glory, but your own. So don't stand on the wrong side of this conqueror. But be still and know that He is God. So let us pray. Lord, help us to trust in You as our refuge and strength, Lord. Help us not to be comfortable in this world and to be resolving all our own issues without trusting in You. Lord, help us to live a life of one that is not in such fear of all the things around us, political, personal, family, without holding fast to You as our refuge and strength. So that our testimony will be one that says, that tells our neighbors, tells our friends, and tells our family that yes, things are crazy, and yes, we may fear it, but we know our God is there, and we know that there is a new day, even if it won't be in this life. Help that testimony to hold true so that the world around us will know who You are because of our testimony. and that we will hold your banner high, and not our own, or not the banner of the government or of our teachers or our work, but your banner. And open the eyes of those who don't trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.